My name is John Cox. I was here last November preaching to you. So I'm definitely thankful and humbled to be back again. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Before I start, I want to give some inspiration for this passage. So if you would like to turn to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. So when I was here last time, I preached on a passage from Titus. That's one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And today, this is also one of my favorite passages. But one of the reasons why I'm sharing this with you is because I feel like the inspiration I have for these Scriptures and what they've meant to me, sharing that to you is something that I think is beneficial to both of us. And if I have continued opportunities in the future, you'll get the chance to hear more of all the ways that God has inspired Scripture on my heart. And the way that this is inspired on my heart is in my senior year of college, I had a class called Christian Civilization. And one of our assignments was to memorize this passage right here. And the professor was a very nice man. I took his class in ethics a few years before, and we had to memorize Scripture. And that was before I was saved. So I was kind of like very confused on how to memorize Scripture and what to do. I ended up failing the quiz the first time and had to retake it because I didn't know what. Like, I remember when I was taking the quiz, I didn't know what Scripture was. I didn't know what I was doing. But when I went through this the Colossians passage for that class senior year, obviously I was going through just memorizing, taking it like a quiz or a test. And I remember one night I was sitting, laying in my bed, and I was going through the passage because my exam was that next day. And obviously if it's for a quiz, you're going to be like, oh, I'm just going to go through it just so I can get a good grade. But the practical side wasn't really with me yet. And at that time, I was saved. So as I was going through it and running through it in my head, things started clicking, and it started making sense. So I think that the goal of memorization is just that. It's not just memorizing something just to kind of check it off and, oh, yeah, I know this. But it's actually internalizing it and reflecting back on it and having other scriptures bounce back. Now, although this sermon isn't about memorization, I wanted to share that with you because it's inspiration for why I'm giving it today. But I'm excited to share this with you. So if you open in the Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, this was a very big passage, but I'm going to break it down over the course of this message. But I would like to start with saying that the entirety of this message is the sovereign will of Christ. This is the sovereign will of Christ, to seek that which is above. The will of Christ over our lives is to seek the things that are in heaven, not on earth. As we seek the will of Christ in our lives, we have to reflect on the supremacy and sufficiency of our Lord. Now we read that we are risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So this verse right here implies that Christ is supreme and sufficient. And by reflecting on the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ, we can have assurance of the grace of God in our lives, and that will help us properly assess those affections. So we started in chapter 3, but I want to go back a little bit, because it just so happens that as that verse talks about the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ, Paul starts by talking about that. If we are to follow the will of Christ, we have to know that he is supreme and sufficient. If we know that he is supreme and sufficient, then we can set our affections and truly follow him. So in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into his kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." So this is the supremacy of Christ. And I want to notice two things in this passage. By him all things were created and consist, and it pleased the Father that by his blood we be reconciled. Now, when we serve the will of Christ, we know that Christ who we serve, the God who we serve, created all things, and all things consist because of him. So we can be confident that when we walk with the Lord, that the supreme will of the Lord, we can trust in that because he created all things, and all things consist of him. And it pleased the Father that by his blood we be reconciled. The glorious power of the cross, the blood of the cross, his glorious resurrection, Christ is supreme. If we want to walk with the Lord, we have to know that by his blood we are saved. It's his blood. The blood of Christ is supreme. Now, as with all scripture, I want to note some other passages that the note on the supremacy of Christ, showing us that Christ is supreme, and Christ is supreme over our lives. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Also in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Also again in Romans chapter 14, 11, following what was said in Philippians, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So as we seek the will of Christ, we know he is supreme. We know that if we want to change and follow him and seek him, we have to bow before him. He is the sovereign over our lives. So we trust in that. We know that he is sovereign. We know he is sovereign. We know he is also sufficient. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them all." So we know Christ is supreme, and now we know Christ is sufficient. And again, I want to notice two specific parts in this passage. Rooted and built up in him, and lest any man spoil you. So the first one, rooted and built up in him. When we follow the will of Christ, we have to be rooted and built up in him. And scripture says that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Saying also in John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5, "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." So that was two passages about being rooted and built in Christ. I'll share a third. Jeremiah 17:8. Jeremiah prophesying that Jesus is the root and the foundation. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall it cease from yielding fruit. So we see that Christ is sufficient, that we can be rooted and built up in him, that he is the sure foundation of our faith, in our hope, in our salvation. But there's an important warning here, lest any man spoil you. Now, if we know that Christ is supreme and sufficient, that's a pretty simple fact. You follow that. But as Paul says, many will come in vain deceit, trying to tell you new things, trying to mix in some philosophy and rudiments of the world. But Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. He is supreme. He is sufficient. So after him we follow. We don't follow any other traditions, any other philosophies. Christ is true, Christ is sure. In him all things consist. He is supreme, sovereign, and he is sufficient for us. So I wanted to clarify those two things, that Christ is sovereign, supreme, and he is also sufficient. So now I want to break down Colossians chapter 3. I want to break it down into three pieces. The sovereign will of the Lord, the state of the old man, and the state of the new man. So let's reread Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So this is the sovereign will of our Lord, setting our affections on things above. And setting our affection on things above is going to have a major impact on how we conduct our life. If we want to follow the will of the Lord, we have to set those affections. We have to make heaven the scope and aim of our life. And this is the present Christian life. It's hidden with Christ. Hidden with Christ in this present life, and we will appear with him in glory. So in this present life, it is our duty to follow the will of Christ, to seek him, to trust in him. And if we understand Christ's will, this is the start of the Christian character. Paul is showing us, he's telling us to seek those things which are above. He's showing us that this is the sovereign will of our Lord. But now, in the next few parts of Colossians 3, he's going to show us the character of one who is hidden with Christ. So I want to keep going with the sovereign will of our Lord, showing more passages that reinforce this idea of following Christ, seeking the things that are above, and our life that is hidden with him. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Also in Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 through 21. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Continuing in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we see that we have to seek first the kingdom of God. Now that's a powerful verse. Lots of people reference it. But also before that, he reinforces, lay up treasures in heaven where it doesn't get corrupted. Because where your heart is, that is Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will also be also. So if we seek heaven and we set our affections in heaven, then our character will follow heaven. So that means we have to leave the old man and start the new man. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, continuing what we started. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So we know what the sovereign will of the Lord of our Lord is, to set our affections on things above, to follow him and trust in him. We know that is true because he is sovereign and sufficient, so we can trust in him. But now we see the state of the old man, of where we once were. And if we want to follow the Lord, we have to analyze ourselves. We have to pray to him, saying, Lord, open up yourself to me, Lord. Help me to see and understand. We have to deny ourselves, trusting in him wholly. And this is a transition to change, being renewed day by day in mind. Now I want to notice a few things too. And have put on new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So that last verse, it reminds me a lot of Romans when it talks about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul is saying there's no discrimination. We all have sinned. We are all unworthy. We were all once the old man. We all must deny ourselves. We all must pick up our cross and follow Christ. Christ is supreme and sufficient. We must follow the will of the Lord and seek that which is above. Put off the old man and put on the new man. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And lastly, like I mentioned before, Romans chapter 3, 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as we follow the will of the Lord, we seek that which is above. We know that the state of our old man, we must put it off. We need to put on the new man. Analyze our character. Our life that is hidden with Christ, the hidden character, this is the character of a Christian. So as we leave the old man, we become a new man. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we know the will of the Lord, seek that which is above. We know he is sovereign and sufficient to carry out that will. So we leave the old man, we deny ourselves, we pick up our cross. The character of the Christian, we start the new man. In the same sense of putting off the old self, we must put on the new self. And the character of this Christian, the one that seeks the will of the Lord and seeks that which is above, we see what that person is like. The qualities of the old man, the qualities of the new man. But above all these qualities is love. Especially in religion, there's a lot of talk about virtue, vices, trying to do good, trying to be good. But if we have those, but we don't have love, then is it worth anything? So it's important that Paul says, above all these is charity, love. If we're a good man, if we're virtuous, and we don't have love, all those virtues, what are those virtues standing on? We must have love. That's the state of this new man. Because Christ loved, we love. If Christ was risen from the dead, as Paul says, and our life is hidden with Christ, as Christ loved, we love. Now, I really want to focus on the last part of the passage, the practicality of these few words. The peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and name of Christ. So it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we know that the will of the Lord is to seek that which is above. We know he is supreme, sovereign, that he is sufficient. And we have put off the old man and began a new life. So as we continue in his will, we let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We let the word of Christ dwell in us. And we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the Christian following the will of God, following the will of Christ, seeking that which is above, putting our hope and trust in him. I want to finish this new man section with a few more passages. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in all righteousness and true holiness. Also in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 8. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. And he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And lastly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are the Lord's, as Paul says in Romans. We belong to the Lord. So we know the will of the Lord, seek that which is above, set our affections on heaven, not on things on the earth. We know that Christ is supreme and sufficient. So we know that we can trust him and follow that will. We know the old man, leave it behind, put on the new man. So as I close, I want to repeat again Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now I just want to open you up for anyone new in the audience. I just want to share and invite you to come to the Lord today and to accept his blood and trust in his righteousness, and come to him seeking his forgiveness and putting your trust in him. And for us that are in Christ and are the new man and follow that will, I want to repeat again verses 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let us pray.